Hi, I'm Megan Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack.
And this is The Daily Dish, Bravo's official podcast. So, Eric, we have to talk about Vanderpump Rules Reunion Part 3,
woo!
Your favorite of the reunions, and then Southern Charm, second episode. Plus, we're going to be breaking down Real Housewives of New York City and Real Housewives of Potomac.
And you talked to Austin Kroll from Southern Charm about that little threesome mishap.
Yes.
And of course, we're going to end with Rose and Thorn, as always. Let's get into it.
Okay, so Vanderpump Rules.
My first question is, who was the America's Next Top Model?
Oh my God.
That Patrick was texting.
I know.
The day that I was moving from New York to LA, I was using his computer and I saw text messages between him and a girl who won America's Next Top Model. And they were very explicit.
I kind of almost wanted to go back and be like, who were all the winners? And try to figure out who it was that Stassi's boyfriend was sexting.
Right. Well, and I haven't had time to do the proper research. So if listeners out there, if you guys have the time today, please do it for me. But I'm thinking of going and looking who he follows on Instagram, see if we can figure that out.
Ooh.
But I'm so curious. I wasn't also paying attention totally at that point. And for a second, I thought she was talking about Bo. And I was like, oh my God, no. And then I went back and listened again. And I was like, oh, thank God.
Also, I just thought it was crazy that not even her best friends knew this had happened with Patrick.
Right.
Because she had already said, oh, I love this guy. I'm moving to LA to be with him. So she was like, I couldn't.
She must have been too embarrassed to even go there. But speaking of Bo, he looks really good.
I think my favorite part of this third part of the reunion is Katie and Sheena arguing over who's hated most by fans.
But it was also, it was Stassi being like, Katie's the most hated person.
And then Sheena goes, no, I am. And then two people at the same time, no, Katie is.
Right. It's true. I mean, I don't know if it's this season in particular or if it's been a real buildup, but I feel like we have seen a major backlash against Katie recently.
I can't believe that it is still so much focus on her weight.
Yeah.
It's so mean.
Right. I feel like it's very unfair that Katie's gotten so much heat. I don't feel like it's evenly distributed given what she's done.
How would you describe your penis?
I think it's a what does he call it?
A classic penis.
I think it's a classic
dick.
There was a lot of conversation too, and like when they were talking about size or whatever, and like Katie was like, well, it's this big, or is it this big? And Tom was like, it's this big. And I was like, no. You guys are getting a little extreme here.
Yeah.
I don't think we're being honest with this situation, but
right. When your hands are bigger than a ruler, I think.
Yeah, that's not. That's dangerous. Well, I think that, you know, I think I know what Tom is saying about a classic dick. I feel like there is a certain look. I wanted to talk a little bit, too, about, because it was something that had really shocked me this season, and it was the way that Stassi's mom was treating her when she came into, you know, she came in like a tornado this season.
Right.
And it was interesting to hear that Stassi hadn't spoken to her mom really until just a few days before the reunion. But I don't blame her really.
I don't want you to, you know,
to what?
Be yourself and mess it up.
Don't be myself.
You're actually down here and he's up here.
I hope my daughter grows up to be half the woman you are.
Given like the way her mom treated her and all the things that she said about Bo and like where and calling Kristen like the strongest woman that she knows, I'm just like, oh my God. But I'm glad to hear that they reconciled
now. Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
I think you can't, you know. And then on the flip side, talking about mom situations, we have Jax breaking down at the end of the episode.
But you know, I felt like this time I got a little more clarity on the situation because I knew that his mom hid from Jax and his sister how bad the dad was. I already knew that part.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize that she's sort of sticking to her guns and not really apologizing or reaching out to Jax. To me, that is like that makes it much more understandable. Don't absolutely you think?
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It's just I can't wrap my head around something like that and why she isn't sort of being the adult, being the mother, being the one to reach out and be like, I fucked up, like, I want to make this better. I want to be at your wedding. I want us to rebuild a relationship. I'm sorry for, like, what I did.
I didn't handle it how I should have, and I'm sorry that I took that time away from you and your dad.
Yeah, and I think Jax would forgive her if she would come forward and say that, because he even said something about how he understands, or he doesn't understand, but he recognizes that she lost the man she was married to for 42 years or something, I think he said. So he recognizes maybe why she didn't make the right decisions, because she was also in pain and suffering, but it's sort of like you have this these two children that you can lean on for support and you guys can grieve together. So why not welcome them back into your life, try to get back into their life, and then come to the wedding.
Right.
Jax is getting married. Did we ever think we'd see the day? Like, come on.
Right. Okay. Andy saying to Sheena, just straight up being like, actually, I think Botox ages you.
And you said on the show that Botox makes you look 26.
I stand by that.
Yeah. You really do.
That's how I can still go out with a 25-year-old.
I disagree. I disagree.
Cougar. It's the lighting. I love it.
I think that the Botox makes people look older.
Rude.
I think Sheena looks great, first of all.
I see what he's saying. I, too, think that when young ladies go toward the Botox and fillers too quickly, they start to look similar to older women who are trying to look younger.
Yeah.
But is that for Andy to say
I don't think
TV?
So. I don't think so, because given perhaps any of the work that other people in the cast have had done, including men, I don't know if he's necessarily ever said anything about their appearance.
He did give Jax a lot of shit for his multiple nose jobs.
That's true. That is true. But yeah, I mean, like you said, when you start getting Botox so young, you do have to maintain that.
Like Jordan from Summer House.
Oh, yes. I wanted to say, speaking of Sheena, Adam went down on her finally.
Yay!
It only took, like, publicly embarrassing him in front of millions of people on television,
yeah,
for him to do it. But hey, progress.
Her explanation to Lisa, like, well, we didn't do much foreplay. It just went from kissing to sex. I'm like, what? Like,
that seems very like just doing it to get it done. What do you think's on their sex playlist? Party in the USA.
Probably. Just on repeat. No, I bet it's all Sheena songs.
I was just going to say it's probably all Sheena songs. That's very true.
And she sings along.
I did want to talk a little bit about Kristen and Carter's situation, too, because we learned in part one of the reunion that Kristen and Carter are no longer together. She says, I'm single. We get that confirmation. Then we learn in part three that they are still, in fact, living together.
Right.
Still, in fact, having sex with each other.
Only twice.
Only twice. But in what time period? Has it been a week? Like,
yeah,
are they twice in a
true.
Week? You know, what is it? And then, you know, we see Kristen get really upset and sort of feel like she doesn't have the support from Katie and Stassi in the whole situation. I kind of wanted to get a temperature check from you on, do you think that Katie and Stassi have been the best of friends to Kristen through this Carter relationship experience, or do you think they're coming from like a high horse of like, well, we're in good and healthy relationships and you're just still f***ing it all up?
I think it's hard because I'm someone who doesn't have patience for people repeating their mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you're just telling me that the same thing is happening, but you're still not going to change your behavior.
Yeah.
That's wearing. I get it. I also do feel bad that Kristen has no one to talk to when things go awry with Carter. But at the same time, just get out of the relationship.
Right. And now she's like going to Ariana, of all people, to talk about her issues. You know, it's kind of funny where she doesn't feel supported by them. So she goes to kind of the least expecting person that she would go to. to deal with these issues.
By the way, I'm glad Andy asked the question to Kristen. Do you still think Ariana and Tom hooked up while you guys were together? And she's like, yes. And Ariana's like, it's not true. I'm with Kristen. I still believe something beyond kissing happened, but they are both just agreeing to disagree.
And able to move forward from it.
Which LVP and Kyle could learn from.
Yeah.
Which I
LVP
mean,
and Dorit,
to.
Too.
Yeah. Like, we will just agree to disagree. We both think the other is lying, but that's okay.
Yeah. That was really interesting when Ariana was like, whatever she wants to believe, she can believe. If something did happen between Ariana and Sandoval, that would have made this reunion even more explosive. If Ariana was just like, well, yeah, it did. Can you imagine? I wonder what Kristen would have done.
I know.
If it had actually happened, and then if Ariana or Tom had been like 100%, that could have stolen the whole reunion.
Sure could have.
Missed opportunity, unless it didn't happen. Which they say it didn't. Okay, let's talk about Southern Charm, episode 2. I wanted to ask you about whether or not we should move to Charleston, because Catherine has a 4-story, 3-bedroom, like 2.5-bath home for $6,000.
But Eric, that's not cheap.
I know it's not cheap, but we live here in New York, and from Summer House, Kyle and Amanda have an apartment for that price, and it's like probably a quarter of the size, if that.
But my point to both people is, why are you paying that in rent? I don't understand.
Yeah, and that's what Cameron kind of says later on in the episode. She's like, it's a great house, but like, why is Catherine not spending her money in a smarter way?
Does she understand that that's taking money every month and putting it in the toilet and going flush?
Right, you're just throwing your money away.
It's true. I mean, it is a gorgeous house, and I do wish that, you know, she had bought it, but I don't think...
I don't know. Am I the only one that thinks that's an exorbitant amount of money to spend in rent?
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. I mean, and that's like Cameron's point, is she's just kind of throwing it away.
Yeah.
It's not going towards like the mortgage on a place or whatever. She's not being smart about it, but listen, it's a beautiful place.
Okay, Eric. Eric's like, it's fine.
It's Catherine. Queen Catherine can do what she wants. What is the deal with Shep's rationale for the whole Austin Madison situation? We see at the end of the episode, after he gets attacked by a crab, that he sits down with Cameron and they kind of talk about the whole relationship and sort of the infidelity that happens. And Shep is totally convinced that in the whole scenario, Madison is really the one in the wrong.
How is your problem with her any different than the problem with Austin? Because they've pretty much done the same thing to each other. So
No. The second person to do something out of revenge is more culpable, in my opinion.
That is so...
I would say that if it was a guy. I'd say that if the roles reversed.
No,
yes,
you
I would.
Shep, that is ridiculous.
It doesn't surprise me.
Right.
Of all the people to make excuses for a slutty guy, it would be Shep.
Yeah, I mean, it really is so telling of kind of how he views men and women. And he kind of tries to make the argument of like, well, if it had been a man, I would have thought the same thing. And Cameron's like, no, come on, you're lying. That's not true. And it's sort of like, when you break it down, really, Austin and Madison were both in the wrong. But Austin did it first. And
okay.
Austin did it with two people. And so it's like, he never should have done what he did.
Right.
Madison should not have tried to seek revenge and do the same thing. But to then put more of the blame on Madison is just
right.
unbalanced.
I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're still together, so... I guess something is working for them. But to me, I would say the fact that they both have cheated is not good.
It's not a good sign.
Yeah.
And also just knowing that Shep, in the span of this episode, basically started dating a girl and then broke up with her by the end of the episode is very telling of, like, he has no right to say anything about anybody else's relationship. Relationship? What did you think of the stump game that they played at Chelsea's house party?
It looked fun.
It did look fun, right?
This is wholesome fun. I like this game. I like the wholesome game.
This is one of the benefits of, like, living in a southern town where just, like...
Having a backyard.
Having, like, a stump of wood just readily available. I did start to think about, like, what are the environmental repercussions of this? Like, what will happen with that stump of wood? Now that there are a bunch of nails in it, but it still looked like a fun drinking game.
You. Wow, you managed to make that a downer somehow.
What happens to the wood? What happens to the nails? We also have to discuss Catherine and Whitney. We got confirmation in this episode.
Right.
What's going to happen?
I don't think anything. I bet it was just like a one-time...
At this point, we know that Catherine has a boyfriend. And I think in the preview for next week's episode, she brings it up to everyone, or at least a couple of her friends, that she's seeing this guy. So we know nothing's really going to come of her situation with Whitney. But were you surprised by her revelation that it was pretty good sex?
I mean, it was so nice she went back twice. Like, you know, I would hope so. But my bigger issue is... If I were Catherine, I'd be doing everything in my power to lock him down. He has the money. He has Patricia as a mom. But I'm not sure Patricia would ever really sign off on that relationship.
Well, that was going to be my question, because I think just recently she's sort of let Catherine into her, you know, circle and is sort of accepting Catherine as a member of, you know, Charleston society, what have you. But I feel like as a mom, there is a line that would be drawn that she probably has an idea in her head of who Whitney should be settling down with.
So I got a chance to sit down with Austin Kroll, which I was so excited for because I wanted to hear his side of the story. And he gives us updates on his beverage company, King's Calling Brew Company. Here's that interview. Guys, we are here with Austin from Southern Charm. Hello.
Hello.
We are gearing up for season 6, and I could not be more excited.
Yeah? Are you?
Yeah.
This is like you're required to say that.
No, I am legitimately excited.
Yeah, I'm not.
Nervous?
Yeah, I'm nervous.
I mean, I've seen a little bit, so I feel like I get where the nerves are coming from.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your relationship with Madison.
How did I know this was coming? She's kind of like the hot topic. I mean, that's what I've been talking about the most. That's for sure. She
yes.
seemed to have made quite the impression.
Yes.
So let's hear what we have to talk about.
Well, I feel like we deal with pretty early on in the season the fact that a video surfaced that may highlight the downside of being a Bravo Leb.
Sure. It definitely did. You know. Thank God that I'm on, like, you know, the low side of Bravo Liberty. So cool. It didn't really make that much of a, but yeah, that was a low, to say the least. You know, I mean, I'm only laughing because it's like, I mean, it happened a year ago now, and it's like, I'm just so glad that it's in my past. But as with, you know, the show's going to come out now and I'm gonna have to relive the whole damn thing. And it's like, yeah, that's definitely frustrating.
Well, I will say, getting to meet Madison, she seems lovely.
Yeah. Wait, did you meet Madison? What? Sorry, what?
On the show.
Oh, okay.
Wow, you got a little paranoid in your eyes.
No. No, look, I mean, she can be. She is. She, you know, like my mother, you know, loves her. My family loves her. You know, because she deals with people all day, you know, she has that like, oh, girl, your shoes, your pants, they're everything. And then people take to her very, very quickly. So, she can be an absolute sweetheart. Yeah.
Are you two still together?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, just the way you're talking about it. She can be like, no,
oh, yeah. Well,
let me skew you.
Well,
back.
Look, I'm dating her and, you know, that doesn't mean that it's all, you know, rainbows and sunshine all the time.
Yeah.
So.
Are you nervous for how she's going to deal with this sort of spotlight?
No. I mean, I know that she's nervous. You know, Patricia's wanted her to come around more than she has in the past. And now that, you know, she was dating me, you know, Patricia's like, yay, Madison's going to be around. Because they have a great, you know, friendship. And I'm nervous in the sense that, like, I don't want what happened to me in season. So my first season, I was like, you know, reading all the comments because I was like the golden boy on season four. And I'm like, oh, everyone loves me. This is amazing. And Madison is a comment reader. And, you know, the comments are probably going to be coming in hot and heavy for like the first, you know, month. And I just want her to not get so caught up in it.
Right.
That is what I really want. I'm like, you know, if we could, like, you know, unplug and pull a Craig and, like, move to the Bahamas for a month just to get away from it all for a minute. But that's just what I hope does not happen.
Are you not a comment reader anymore?
At the moment, sure, because, like, we're not on the air, right? And so if I post a picture or something and I read comments, you know, because they're not, you know, negative. They're all positive about whatever I'm posting. But when it comes back out, I probably will not be reading comments.
Mm. Speaking of comments, So this season, I would say a little bit early on, we get into the downside of Instagram, DMs, if you will. So what is your policy on DMs when you're in a relationship? Because you must get crazy ones from fans.
Well, my policy on DMs, I mean, geez. Well, you know, Madison told me, she's like, look, if you don't think that these girls want to bust you so bad and send me whatever you're sending them, and it's just like, that none of that is happening, you know? I mean, I respond to people here and there, you know, but I try not to get caught up in DMs. That is a dangerous place to be. Very dangerous. Everyone take heed.
Let's talk about the business side of things.
Okay.
How's your business doing?
Well, so my beer company is on. So everything is now, like, officially taken care of. So I finally, you know, my federal license to sell beer and to do X, Y, and Z. It's finally all my ducks are in a row. Like, I am gearing up with my, you know, distributor to, you know, launch it in all the strategic areas of Charleston. And I'm just excited for people to come to town and drink it, because when people come to town, I mean, that's, you know, my DMs, right? So, like, a lot of my, you know, it's not like, you know, naked pics and such. It's like, you know, girls come in town being like, hey, we're in town on a bachelor party, a bachelorette party. And, like, where should we eat and drink? And where's your beer? We want to try it. Right. And that's like what a lot of my DMs are. And I'm sure it's the same with, you know, the rest of the cast. They think that we're like the gatekeepers to the city. And then they're like, where do we eat? Where do we drink? And, you know, but it's great that they're asking me where my beer is. You know, it just shows me that
it's in demand.
Yeah. You know, and people are interested, you know, because my first year, my question was, where's Chelsea? I mean, everywhere that I went. Where's Chelsea? You know, and she said the same thing. And she was like, oh my God, it's so annoying. And now it's, where's your beer? So I hope that everyone coming to Charleston in the next, you know, couple years gets to drink it.
And it's still Trop Hop, right?
It is called Trop Hop, yeah.
Awesome.
And, you know, people are like, when are you going to come out with, like, another flavor? And I'm like, let's get this one going first. Like, I don't have anything, you know, going right now. So I'm going to get that out there. And then, you know, kind of the framework is already laid out for me. So then I can come out with whatever, and it shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. So what else about this season can you tell us?
Man, let's see. We take a guy's trip to go camping. We go on a skiing trip, which was, I thought it was a lot of fun, because Craig and I have been, you know, begging to, you know, the group to go out to Colorado. So finally we did, and no one really skis except for Craig. So I kind of feel bad about that, I guess. But I mean, I know that Whitney can ski, but he just didn't want to. And Shep's knee was messed up, so he couldn't. And I know that Cam does a little bit, but I didn't get to see them on the bunny hill, but I cannot wait to see that footage because it's probably hilarious. And Catherine comes out, and this is like full-on glam red onesie.
Oh, wow.
It's spectacular.
Cam, who let's say is the least, you know, controversial.
Sure.
To mm-hmm. Ashley.
Okay.
Where does Madison fall?
I mean, God, okay, so are you calling Cam like a zero and Ashley like a 12?
Yeah.
You know, Madison's a solid 7. 6, 7. It's not bad. Like, not like, you know, not crazy. She just speaks her mind.
Three things you like about Madison.
Her ambition.
Yeah.
Her and her independence. You know, she's mm-hmm. a strong, independent woman. And then her rocking ass.
Nice. Cool. Just trying to help you out in case she listens to this.
I 100% did that like for her if she is listening, because she'll actually get a big smile on her face for that. It's good. Not like a douchey thing to say.
I don't think it is.
She'll be like, oh, thank you.
I work so hard.
Yes. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I can't wait to watch the new season.
Good. I'm glad that someone is excited to watch it. Thank you all for having me.
You're welcome. Eric, do you remember mood rings?
Well, being a child of the 90s, it was mandatory to have one.
So Scentbird is sort of like an adult mood ring, but with fragrances. With more than 450 designer brands to choose a perfume or cologne from, you can switch up your scent depending on how you're feeling that day.
You could choose from brands like Prada, Tom Ford, Versace, or my personal favorite, Burberry. And Scentbird will send you a 30-day supply. That's 120 sprays, enough to apply more than 4 times a day for a month.
Not sure what type of scent you're looking for? Sort and find your new fragrance by brand, scent, occasion, season, and more.
One good tip is to check out user ratings and reviews on any fragrance, or you can actually take Scentbird's quiz to discover more personalized recommendations based on your taste.
And with an exclusive offer just for our listeners, you can get 50% off your first month today. That's only $7.50 for your first fragrance.
Go to scentbird.com/dish and use our code DISH for 50% off your first month.
Again, that's scentbird.com/dish. To try your first perfume or cologne for just $7.50.
Sign on and smell amazing.
Real Housewives of Potomac.
Woo!
This episode.
We're getting into it now. Well, first, before we get into like the real juicy stuff at the end of the episode, Katie's back.
Yes, I'm excited.
I'm excited too, because I think her personality are really going to shake up this group.
Yeah.
In a really, like, refreshing and fun and, like, crazy way.
Well, and I also, because, you know, she was only on season one of Potomac, and I always dislike when we only get one season of someone, because I think it usually takes a couple seasons to really get multiple layers. So I'm excited that she's back, so we get to know more about her.
Yeah, and from what we've heard in, you know, the interview with Giselle, and even Karen gets into it a little bit, she's got a lot of shit going on in her life. She has this, like, boyfriend that's younger, and we're not really sure if he has a job. She's got all sorts of issues going on with, like, custody. So, like you said, we're really going to start to see exactly what's going on in her life, and maybe that will help to sort of explain her behavior. I mean, just when she comes to the party at the end of the episode and talks to Candace, meets Candace for the first time in front of Chris, she's basically like, oh, wish I could have warned you about getting married.
I heard you just got married.
I did.
How's it going?
So we're what, 4 or 5 days in?
5 days in.
So it's still real hot.
Right.
Yeah.
I wish I'd met you 5 days ago. Because I would have given you a warning. Don't do it.
Like, what? You can't say that to someone 5 days into a marriage.
Right.
And she's like, oh, no offense to you, Chris. I just, you know, like, I have had different experiences. I'm like, girl, mm-mm. The other thing I wanted to talk about is Giselle and Karen's friendship, and mm-hmm. this has been something that for a while I've really tried to wrap my head around, because I truly cannot tell if they like each other, if they love each other, or if they just, like, truly, at the end of the day, do not like each other. What do you think?
No, I completely agree with your assessment, and I, too, am not sure.
It's so funny, because when they get together, they're both so shady directly towards each other that you're kind of like, are you guys getting along right now, or are you guys fighting? I can't even tell when she... I mean, the second Giselle walks into Karen's house, she's saging her. And then they sit down and they sort of go back and forth. But it feels like they kind of find this middle ground where they decide to, like, spill a secret to each other. And Giselle talks about, like, how she, what is it, uses, like, hair removal.
Oh, right.
And then Karen talks about how she wears a bra to bed because she doesn't want Ray to see her boobs flop over or whatever. And I'm sort of like, okay, like, this seems like you guys are friends again. Like, it seems like you're building off of this, like, awkward, like, body stuff that you guys have going on.
So you want to tell me a secret, and then I'll tell you a secret.
This is the first stage,
and then we'll see whether or not we can hold the secret.
Okay, let me see. What's harmless?
Okay, you tell me a secret first, because I don't trust you.
Let's see. No, I use hair removal on my hoo-ha. I need one from you.
Okay. Ever since I took my implants out.
Uh-huh.
I have been second-guessing it. Because I won't sleep without a bra now. I don't want them going east and west in front of Ray.
So if you guys remember, too, what's really funny about this scene is that Karen mentions that right before Giselle got to the house, she must have gone for a spray tan. And she was wearing, like, a mini dress when she came to Karen's house. So she sat down on the white couch and left a butt imprint in, like, orange on Karen's white couch.
Oh, God.
Don't get a spray tan and then go to someone's house. You got to go into hiding for one day until you shower.
Remember, Catherine said when she slept with Shep, he made her shower before.
Oh, yeah.
Because he didn't want spray tan all over his sheets.
It's a legitimate thing. I mean, that stuff will come off, okay? I also wanted to mention the sort of tea that Karen dropped about Sherman in her interview, where she was basically like, Sherman had checked out of the relationship with Giselle way before Giselle did, because she heard in the streets that Sherman was, like, shopping with another woman. So I feel really bad, because it does seem like Giselle was so into Sherman.
Right.
And we saw him bail on her and how upset it made her about, you know, Candace's wedding and everything. But I think we're starting to really see who Sherman is.
Yeah,
exactly. So you know what, Giselle? You're better off.
Better off.
Find yourself a good man.
Can we get to the party now?
Yes, please.
I don't know what to say.
Well, first of all, Giselle makes the point of, you know, this almost cultural appropriation that's been happening with the husbands and Chris's vows, and then the way Michael is dressed for the party, which is sort of its own thing that we could, like, really break down. But I think we need to just get right into the real juicy stuff.
So how much do you think Michael had to drink?
He was definitely slurring his words, like, early on in the party. So I was like, once I heard that the party, you know, when Robin sort of shows her footage and they talk about how, like, turned up everyone gets, I was like, it could not have, like, it did not end well for Michael.
My other thing that I just thought of, okay, so he says to a producer, my mic went out. He was like, that's good, because I said a lot of stuff.
But the producer's like, oh, no, it didn't go out. But I'm wondering if it was on the whole time.
I don't think my microphone was working all night.
Didn't hear anything.
Thank God, because I may have said things that I might regret.
Because we did at least, what we did hear, which was on camera and everything, was the conversation he had with the guy at the bar, where he was like, you're a good-looking man. He was, like, looking at his muscles. He was like, well, I'm in shape, too, but you're in better shape.
Oh, my God. That's fucking hard as a rock. I'm expecting a little bit of jelly butter.
Yeah, I work about 5 times a week.
I know I'm good-looking, but you're a good-looking man, too, brother.
And then we didn't see it, but we heard, like, oh, that's hard as a rock, which means I think he grabbed his butt.
Right.
Which is not the first time in the last two episodes Michael has referenced touching a guy's butt. He mentioned it about Ray last week.
Yeah.
This week, we heard him say it to this guy. And then, apparently, Robin overheard him saying something about wanting to suck Juan's dick.
And I remember hearing out of Michael's mouth,
yeah, I would suck his dick.
I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. Like, I'm just going to forget that I heard that and move on.
Also, we can't forget that the ladies had brought it up at a reunion that Michael was on a gay dating app.
Right.
And they denied it and said it wasn't Michael.
Michael says he has the receipts that, remember at the reunion, he was like, I can show you my passport. I wasn't even in London at the time. Everything we see in this scene at the party is really setting up for the sort of big reveal that's coming about the allegations that come out. So it's just like, it's sort of this dark cloud, I feel like, that's lingering over this season. And it feels very much like as we were building up to the Lisa and Kyle fight. Obviously, it's not comparable because they're two completely different situations. But it is this feeling of, like, impending doom.
But so I think we're going to get more of this Michael situation in next week's episode.
Yeah, we hear Robin kind of being like, I wish I could forget what I heard him say. And speaking of Robin, I loved her pink hair at the party. It was very reminiscent of, like, Pink, the singer's early days when she was doing, like, more hip-hop.
Yeah.
And then got into rock.
There you go.
Yeah. Remember? Come on. Those were the days, man.
Okay, Real Housewives of New York. Because we didn't talk last week about it, but I wanted to talk about Luann's house.
Yes.
The roundhouse.
The roundhouse. We had heard a little bit about it, and when we spoke to Luann a couple months back, you know, she kind of explained it and how she really loved it, and because it was round, it had really good energy and blah, blah, blah. But what do you think about the house? What were your first impressions?
I mean, I thought it was fine until we got to the guest room. And that's where things took a turn for me, where I was like, oh, it's kind of like a DIY Airbnb situation.
Right. It's almost like a bunker. Like, just all of your amenities are in one space.
Like, one very small space. I mean, actually, that room does remind me of my first apartment in New York.
Right. I guess that's not so different from, like, a typical studio where it's just one massive room. And you can literally, as Bethany says, like, take a shit and make an omelet at the same time or whatever.
But I love Kingston, where the house is located.
Right. Well, I wanted to ask you about that because we talked a little bit about it yesterday because you're familiar with the town. And when they go out to dinner, Ramona kind of starts to trash Kingston and be like, it's not the nicest place, not the classiest place. And, you know, Luann is like, it's the Sag Harbor of upstate. And everyone's kind of like, is it?
Kingston is not like Rhinebeck. You can't compare the two.
All right, she's going to ignore that.
Kingston is
a little depressed.
No, Kingston is hipper. It's
no, it's not.
Yeah, it's the Sag Harbor of the Hamptons.
No, it's not.
So tell me a little bit about Kingston from what you know.
There are definitely parts of Kingston where they've made an effort to make it young and hip and like there's this one area where it's a wine bar and then, you know, all these restaurants and these little boutiques and then downtown is also kind of artsy. But the rest of the town is very not Sag Harbor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love it. It's a very nice town. But when I heard Luann moved there, I was like, really? Like, it surprised me.
Well, Dorinda kind of makes the point of, like, Luann was looking for a blank page. She was looking for a new start. So I feel like given Luann's history, like, Sag Harbor probably isn't the kind of place she wants to be now. She does want to be in a smaller town upstate, tucked away. There's no photographers. Like she said, there were photographers outside of her house in Sag Harbor. So it's definitely different for Luann, but I think it's exactly probably what she's looking for and what she needs.
That's
right
true.
Now.
I just think that she should say just that.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, last week's episode ended with Bethany and Luann kind of going at it, and then this episode starts with their fight. And it's just sort of like they keep going in circles and they don't seem to be understanding each other. And I think Lou's being really selfish about Bethany not staying for this performance at Halloween. And Bethany, to Luann's point, is sort of using rehab and helping Lou get into rehab over and over as an excuse for Luann can't criticize anything Bethany does because Bethany helped her go to rehab.
But does Luann have anything to criticize? Bethany showed up to an event for a performance that was supposed to start at a certain time. When that didn't happen, she had to bounce.
Right. And she kept using the whole, like, Bryn thing against Bethany. And Bethany was like, you can't use my daughter as a pawn in this. Like, I went home because I needed to be asleep so I could wake up with Bryn. And, like, that has nothing to do with this situation. I left because I couldn't be there any longer. And you were late going on stage. And Luann just never really apologized for it. Luann has, like, a very difficult time, I think, properly saying I'm sorry or
Wait,
understanding.
Are you telling me that there is a real housewife who has a hard time apologizing?
That's what I'm telling you.
Wow.
It's hard to believe. Wow. It was interesting, too, that after that sort of argument, Barbara rushed right to Luann's side, but didn't really step in and defend her during the argument, which I think is something we haven't really seen of Barbara this season. She's constantly kind of defending Luann to everybody else and almost not doing Luann's dirty work, but kind of behind Luann's back going and trying to, you know, tell everyone what Luann's like thinking and feeling. So at this point, she's sort of stepped back a little bit, which I think is good.
Yeah, I agree. Kind of taking a more neutral approach.
Right. What did you think of Ramona and sort of her reaction to being in Rhinebeck and seeing her family history and all of that sort of bubbling to the surface?
It is really hard for me to know if Ramona is just being dramatic or is really suffering from some sort of like PTSD.
Yeah.
Because we've seen her do this before a few seasons ago on Real Housewives of New York, where she's in the woods that looks like any sort of woods ever. And she's like, oh my God, this is taking me back. This looks like my childhood. It's just like, it's just trees. What are you talking about?
And they've done it too. Like she's done it at the reunion. They show a clip where she sort of talks about when you've been abused and everyone's like, what are you talking about? Like, we don't know what you're talking about when it comes to this sort of stuff. But I feel like being in that area probably was triggering
True.
For her,
True.
Especially like seeing the restaurant that, you know, she hosted her mom's or the dinner after her mom's funeral. It probably did bring back a lot of weird memories and things. And then we see her and Bethany kind of bonding over their family issues. And Bethany makes a huge revelation about her mom.
Right. Like, I mean, because if you've read Bethany's books, you do find out a lot about her childhood. But I didn't realize that. Like, it sounded very much like a Drew Barrymore situation.
Yes.
Like, with the mom dragging her to Studio 54 when she's how old? It was, like, 12?
Yeah, and Bethany said she was, like, doing coke at 14.
Then we would go to Europe when I was 13 years old, and she'd be like, you're so f***ing boring that you don't want to go out. I was, like, at nightclubs doing cocaine at 14 years old.
That's horrible.
Yes. Swear on my life, may I drop dead in this bar. Yeah, 14.
I didn't even know what coke was at 14.
Yeah.
Coca-Cola. What did you think of the cabaret performance?
Money can buy your class. Money can buy your class. Everybody!
I am so with Bethany when she's just like, I was good before I knew what cabaret was. Like, I've lived my whole life without going to cabaret. Do I need to? Like, I, even just watching that woman's performance, like, do you? That's great, but that is not entertaining to me.
Yeah. Now, I grew up, like, in the arts. I was a theater major. I've seen a lot of strange things, so I know exactly how it feels to be in that room and being subjected to a performance that you just do not, number one, understand. Number two, want to be a part of. And you're with someone who is really excited about it. So you don't want to be, like, offensive to them, but you're also, like, deeply suffering inside. And I felt like Tinsley in that moment. You know what I mean? And that song already gets stuck in my head so easily. And now, after watching that episode, it keeps getting stuck in my head, but just by that version, where it's like, money can't buy you class. Money can't buy you class. Like, that's the one that's stuck in my head now. And usually it's like Luann's version, which is already, you know, Luann's version. So now I have to suffer.
Yeah. I guess it reminds me of like this very unique New York experience. Where you'll say to someone, oh, what are you doing tonight? And they're like, I'm going to my friend's one man show. Right. And it's just like, that's a very common phrase that you hear where it's just like, oh God, I have to be a good friend.
And you truly don't know what you're getting into, but you know, you're not going to like it. Lastly, I wanted to ask what you thought about the lion man that Barbara made out with. Who would you go after?
You know, I think a Tinsley is more maybe my vibe.
Interesting. Okay.
You know?
Yeah. I was going to say Luann because I think she's very striking when you look at her. You know, she's tall. She's very pretty. Like, I think from across the room, I would, like, lock eyes with Luann first. And then maybe Tinsley would be, like, my backup.
Or a Sonia. I think Sonia is very beautiful.
That's true.
Very sexual.
And we do know that people from across the room often do run over and make out with Sonia before they're leaving a party.
All right, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Okay, let's do Rose and Thorn.
Eric, what was your rose?
So my rose was from Summer House, and it is the Vanderpump Rules crossover. Because I love a crossover. We get Stassi, Beau, Katie, and Tom showing up to the house and partying with everyone. So I was really happy to see that. Mm. What was your rose?
It was definitely the fact that they, on the Vanderpump Rules reunion, they were openly talking about Adderall.
And I didn't want to, like, full-on come out and say this, but I'm like, I'm not going to take Adderall again. Like, I'm not going to do that.
So have you stopped taking it, or are you taking it less?
No, I've stopped taking it.
I was like, done. And has your behavior changed?
Yes. Yeah.
Because Stassi has mentioned it in other interviews. Like, the reason we were so skinny in season one is, like, you know, Adderall. And then that was kind of the last you'd heard of it. And then she was like, yeah, that's actually the reason why I go crazy sometimes.
And honestly, I don't blame her. Adderall makes me crazy. Not even in like a Stassi way. The last time I took Adderall, and it was when I was in Montreal, and I remember feeling like I was stuck in a glass case. And I, like, couldn't get out. And I was, like, out to dinner with my friends. And then all of a sudden, like, it must have worn off. And it was just, like, an immediate switch where all of a sudden I felt, like, present again. And after that, I was like, I will never. What was your thorn?
So on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Kyle was the worst bridesmaid to Camille. She didn't know where she was supposed to be at any given time. She didn't know the itinerary for the weekend. That is, like, bridesmaid 101.
Yeah, it feels like it was all very passive. Like, Camille asking her number one felt like a, well, why not, you know? Yeah. And then Kyle was just sort of like, I don't think she wanted to do it, so she put in, like, minimal effort. I mean, the dress didn't even show up until, like, the day before
because
or the day of.
She ordered it too late.
And she tried rush delivery, and that didn't work. Come on, Kyle. You should know better by now.
But I also have a second thorn from Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Okay.
So we find out that Lisa Vanderpump takes a lie detector test,
yes,
which is just so over the top and silly to me. But the way that they found out is my thorn, which is that Kyle's daughter's friends the mom had been robbed, right?
Yet again, the bling ring striking again.
But so they were making the construction workers take a lie detector test.
Right.
That is just so icky to me.
Yes.
But it was also such a Beverly Hills thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think construction workers have stolen from me and I will make them take a lie detector test.
Right, right. Gross. Very gross.
What was your thorn?
My thorn was also from Summer House, and it was the extremely uncomfortable date that Jordan went on with Erica, who he was having all sorts of feelings for, and then he just, like, really lost his way in that date.
I think everyone kind of has a soulmate out there.
Are you my soulmate?
No.
I mean, okay, here's the thing. I have a hard time believing he even gets to the point where his dick doesn't work because he clearly is not good at dating.
Yeah. You can't ask someone if they're your soulmate, like, on the second date.
And I feel like we didn't see, I mean, I'm sure it was a long date, but so I feel like there was something that happened that she switched because she was a little bit into him and then it was just like,
yeah,
a wall went up.
Right.
Which I've had that feeling before.
Well, and I think she sort of left clues along the way that she wasn't totally interested in him, like when he invited her to dinner at the house and she brought her roommate.
Right,
like,
that's true.
You know, it's sort of like you should have picked up those clues along the way,
she's
Jordan.
She's like, I am strictly here for the cameras, honey.
And God.
Yeah.
The tide might be high, but the Below Deck Mediterranean Season 4 crew is holding on.
This time, the Yachtys are sailing to the south of France to take care of their over-the-top charter guests' requests.
There's a bunch of familiar faces setting sail, too, including Captain Sandy Yawn, Chief Stew Hannah Ferrier, and deckhands Joao Franco and Colin Macy O'Toole.
And we also have Third Stew Anastasia Sermava, deckhand Travis McKalzik, deckhand Jack Stirrup, and Chef Mila Kulamitsova, the first female chef in Below Deck history.
Megan, there's also been an update since we last seen the crew. Joao is now a bosun. A big congratulations to him. And he'll be in charge of an entirely new batch of deckhands.
But before you set sail, we want to make sure you're up to date on all the past salty happenings.
You can now stream the past 3 seasons on your Bravo TV app.
That's countless hours of big yachts and big drama and an even bigger ocean.
Download the Bravo TV app on your iOS or Android device today to recap everything Below Deck Mediterranean.
And make sure to catch the Season 4 premiere on Monday, June 3rd at 9, 8 Central.
Bon voyage!
And next week, we have an interview with Kyle and Amanda from Summer House, where they talk about the cheating rumors and a lot more. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9. And remember, watching Bravo isn't a guilty pleasure.
It's self-care.
Guys, let's keep the conversation going. We want to talk to you all week long, not just Thursdays. You can find us on Twitter or Instagram at Bravo TV.
Don't forget to use the hashtag Bravo Daily Dish.
Or reach out to us personally. I'm everywhere at Meg Segura.
And I'm Eric J. Mack, E-R-I-K.
And if you're on Facebook, join the Daily Dish Facebook group.
You can post about what you're watching, your favorite shows, who's your favorite housewife, ask a question, start some drama. There's a lot of good stuff in there, so check it out. You can also learn more about the podcast at bravotv.com.
TTYL.
Bye.
Bye.
Looking fine and I got my girls with me. With the boys at the table getting tipsy. Miss me, kiss me.